And in that moment, my biggest fear wasn't that I was going to mess up something and that, like, people in Ottawa would hear, people in Toronto would hear that I was talking about a subject and I didn't know everything about it fully. My biggest fear was about my mom listening to that and coming back to me and saying, you made a mistake here, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And that blew my mind. That big word. That was really? Like, yo.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline.
This is the Cathartic Experience. Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Cathartic Experience. Thank you for joining us on our 13th episode. Today we're going to be talking about self-esteem and self-confidence. Before we start, of course, how are you?
I'm here. Stressed and all. You know how it'd be.
Oh,
you
know do I know. Yeah, we're in this mode where we're
establishing, putting in place systems, right?
Yeah, and it's like getting things started is a lot of work, even like putting this business together, and we're still doing things that feel very consuming.
Yeah, I think consuming would be the word.
And it's like, damn.
We're hiring.
Oh, God. Like it's I just want to one day get to a place where I'm not thinking about doing all these little tiny things and that everybody else is taking care of it.
Right. How are you?
I am. I am tired. I am exhausted, honestly. But I love everything that I do. Right. So, like, it energizes me at the same time, like, when I'm doing it, but afterwards, I'm like, ugh. And I don't get that much rest, and I've been stress eating, so it's a vibe. Yeah,
I'm here with you.
It's a vibe.
Uber Eats has my soul.
Yeah. Uber Eats has my life savings, bro. Like,
you know, sometimes when you put something in the cart, and you're like, you know what, I shouldn't.
No, but then I don't know that feeling.
Where you're like, tip, and then it says 15%, and it's like $7, and you're like, oh, but I'm gonna go ahead anyway.
Low-key, though, do you follow with their 15% recommendation?
Sometimes. I'm not even gonna front. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, did this be too much?
I'm gonna be honest. I'm not paying $50 for a meal, and then paying a nigga $7?
Fee, taxes, service fee, no, small sorry. Order. Listen.
I would keep them fees to yourself.
Yeah.
You need to cut it. It's a mess.
And you know what it told me yesterday? What? Because it was raining, Uber was like, tip generously.
Yeah, because it's raining outside? Like, I'm sorry. Should black women get tips for wearing wigs out in the rain? Like, no. Yeah. Do your job. Rain or shine.
Yeah.
Uber. Anyways, thank you for listening to our to Uber rant. but let's start with self-esteem and confidence. For you, you know, what does that mean for you?
For me, I think it means just believing in myself and believing that I can accomplish certain things. Like, that's how I relate to confidence and self-esteem, really, to put it simply.
Yeah, I think the way I think about self-esteem or confidence is how I feel about myself in terms of worthiness, but how I also feel about what I'm able to achieve. So my self-efficacy. Yeah. And I think, let's take it back to the parents one more time.
I thought you were going to start a song.
No, it's not even a
song. I was ready.
I was trying to put something together, but it didn't come out like that. But my parents are very critical, very judgmental about other people and myself as well. So I grew up with that really harsh, like, inner critic, man. Everything I did was wrong. Everything felt wrong. I wasn't, and when I was young, because my parents worked a lot and I was alone a lot of the times in the, you know, afternoon, evenings, that type of thing. I would spend a lot of time. This is when YouTube was starting to become a really, really big thing.
Back in the day.
Yeah, like Juicy Star 07, that Glitters 21, like all the beauty gurus back in the day. I remember wanting what they had so much. Yeah. And I remember being obsessive and writing these lists of things I wanted. Because in my mind, if I had all this makeup, if I had all these things, I would feel better about mm-hmm. myself. I would do better. I would feel like I was more worthy. So I was always kind of chasing, this idea of when you have these things or when you achieve these things, you'll finally feel good mm-hmm. about you.
Right. Okay. That's where yours is coming from.
Yeah, I think so. Like, my mom was very, like, she placed such an emphasis on appearance mm-hmm. that I then developed this kind of obsession with my appearance as dictating right. how I should be treated. So mm-hmm. if I look good, people will treat me good, and that's justified. Mm-hmm. If I look bad, people can treat me bad, and that's justified. And it's so messed up.
Right. Do you think you're still holding space for that?
Not really. Like, honestly, over time, I remember I'll just get to where I'm at right now. I'm in a place where it's like, I've literally learned to embrace a lot of different things about my appearance to the point where it doesn't take the forefront in my mind. Like, when I talk to people now, it's not like, oh, what do they think of my makeup? Mm. What do they think of my eyelashes? What do they think of my hair? How do they think I'm big? Do they think I'm small? What flaws do they see? Am I wearing my clothes properly? It's not even about that. I'm really focused on just getting to know the person and listening to what they have to say. Okay. And it's really interesting to be in that frame, because it's like you're more focus on just building that relationship and getting to know the person, and you're really present, versus when you're so focused on how you look and how you're coming off.
How people see you.
You're not in that. You're not in the moment. You're not thinking about what they're saying to the fullest extent. So you're not really engaging. So I feel really privileged to be at a place where it's like, yeah, I struggled with, you know, disordered eating at some point. Yeah, I struggled with like self-esteem, body image issues. But I'm at the place right now where I'm in so much peace. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know if I'd go running in a bikini or whatnot on a beach per se, but I can roll up in a one piece.
Okay.
And some shorts. Okay.
Yeah.
How about for you?
Where does one start? I feel like in terms of me, it's been a lot about identity. Mm. Because, and I feel like I've mentioned that before, but just the way that my family is set up and the fact that my aunt is my mom and all of that. And I remember just asking her questions about that. And she was, you know how Haitian parents sometimes, they just dismiss you or they make you think that whatever it is that you're thinking about is so small, like, let go of that. You know what I mean? Because I remember asking her, well, you planned your kids, my other aunt, she planned her kids. She was married. How come my parents didn't plan me? And she was like, you're overthinking this. Like, this is how things are done in Haiti. Sometimes people just have kids. But you know what I mean? Like, not taking the time to see that, oh, this kid is asking you a question about something that they're trying to figure out about their identity. Mm-hmm. Right? And came later, my brother, and I'm like, oh, so y'all can be together for my brother, but not for me. But no one took the time to explain all of these things to you. So you're kind of just like out here. Mm. You know what I mean? And I remember when I was little, but thinking about it now, like I used to be in my room just writing like not dark stuff, but just writing like I'm all alone. You know what I mean? Like by myself, da 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 da. Like I'm the black sheep that no one wants me. Mm. And I'm like, this starts such as like an early age. I don't even think I understood what I was doing. Right. Or one day I just came home and I ate all the Nutri-Grains, all the pack. Just, I feel like to just relieve this stress. But I'm like, no one was really paying attention, I guess, because you know how parents, they're wrapped up in their worlds, right? And I think another thing with, especially with my mom, is being really overprotective to the point that as a kid, you don't learn about like your own abilities to do things. Like, I don't know how to cook. I can't cook for nobody, but at a really young age, she didn't take that time. But also if we wanted to do something, it's like, no, you're gonna burn the house down, right? Mm. There's no, let me just do it. I know how.
She had a lot of fears.
Yeah, she has a lot of fears. about the world. It's not a safe place. You can't be at the mall. How long have you been there? You know, text me your friends' numbers. Like, and that, as a kid, you integrate all of that into your own world without being even conscious of it.
Right. So for you growing up, it was much more of a fear of not being, like, lovable somehow?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. I think for me, it was a different fear. It was, like, inadequacy.
Like, you're not right.
Yeah. And I didn't want to, like, fail. Mm-hmm. So everything became about, how do I not look foolish in front of people? And I remember having, like, the most crippling social anxiety. Like, I would go out into the world, crowd, streets, everything, I'd be shaking like a damn leaf.
Just because
I was so nervous, because I thought that people had the same critical eye as my mom. And maybe they do, but I had it in my head that everyone was looking at me
the same way,
that in a negative way, and with criticism.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking about that the other day. Remember I told you about this, like, appearance on, like, a radio show? And in that moment, my biggest fear wasn't that I was gonna mess up something, and that like, people in Ottawa would hear, people in Toronto would hear that I was talking about a subject and I didn't know everything about it fully. My biggest fear was about my mom listening to that and coming back to me and saying, you made a mistake here, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And that blew my mind. That big
word.
That was really? Like, yo.
Wow, what a moment. What was it like?
Even
for
in
you?
Terms of the presentation I have next week. I don't care about the committee. It's like, I don't want this person to be there because I can't live with that criticism that she's going to give me. But I cannot.
Damn.
But over, like, people with PhDs, over people who are evaluating you, but
it's your mom's
my
criticism.
My mother. I can't. I can't.
That's deep.
But that is deep. And it's real, though.
I feel you, because and my mom's kind of the same, but she's like a less extreme version of your mom. Where it's hard for her to praise.
It's so hard.
Like, the criticisms, yo, you wake up in the morning,
bam,
clean your room.
Yeah.
No good morning, no nothing. And then she says good morning now. She's getting all soft and shit. But clean your room. Why is this cup here and not there? Why aren't you guys cleaning? Did I raise a whole bunch of dirty kids? Woo! But when you do something good,
you did okay.
My mom didn't even comment on good things until it was big enough. Yeah. Like graduations.
Right. Practices. Right. Things that are
practices. I didn't even get an applause for this shit.
No, I got it. You did okay. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Since you've been holding up this rent, you're doing okay.
You know what's funny?
Even now they're asking me for money. But anyway.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny because even in being in my second semester of the PhD, I literally got my grades back. And I was like, oh, let me send this to my parents. Show them how well I'm doing. And I don't have to. I don't feel the need to get their approval. But I like seeing them be excited about their kid. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a weird feeling where it's like, I just want them to celebrate me. So any chance I get to do that,
right,
it's great if they're there too. I don't need them. I could do that by myself. I was happy on my own and I felt fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But having them give me that sense of recognition felt good too, because now that I'm older, it's almost like they are at a place where they could take a step back and not protect me as much. So they're starting to see me as this autonomous adult type thing. So our relationship has changed a lot and I'm so grateful for that. Right. But I know that's not the case for everybody.
Yeah, that's not the case for me. We're leaps and bounds from that. But it is a process.
But I feel like bounds.
With my parents, I feel like I have to be a way to get close to, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, me.
Yeah.
Me too, nigga. This would have happened if I was like under their roof 24/7. I spend most of my days outside. So when I come in, it's like a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and then
wrap it up.
Wrap it up. That's it for the day. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, identity. But yeah, and just in terms of, I feel like, body and appearances. And I was thinking about that the other day, like before we even established this topic, about how I stay not smiling. I stay like, you know how I stay. I stay like low-key rude bitch face. Like that's my, and I'm like, why am I like this? Like that's my state of being. Right. You know.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
It's to the point where I have to tell people I don't, that
she's actually nice.
Yeah, she's actually nice. She's actually a sweetheart.
She's slow to warm up.
She looks like she could bite your head off though.
Yeah. But I'm like, I do think it all comes back to childhood and early experiences.
Yeah, why do you think you stay mad?
I don't.
Mad, like bitch face. Why do you think you stay bitch face?
I guess expecting the worst about the world. Like someone is gonna come in and say something and just default. If you're already in that state, it's like, I'm already ready for you.
Right. But do you ever, by default, put people in that state because they think you're in that state?
Probably.
Probably.
There goes that schema.
There goes that schema.
But yeah. What else about self-confidence? I think that oftentimes when I talk to clients and they talk about confidence and fear of just being and living, they talk about missed opportunities and how they kept themselves from doing certain things because they were so fearful of what the outcome could be, or they were so fearful of failing or being disapproved of or disappointing someone. Right. And I am so, again, I am in a place of privilege where those things no longer rule my mind.
Right.
And I think the thing that people need to be aware of, and this takes time and taking risks and learning about yourself and putting yourself in situations that are outside of your comfort zone, is that the biggest disappointment is you failing to show up for yourself, because that disappointment lasts a lifetime. Because I remember one client talking to them and they missed a whole scholarship opportunity. People have missed opportunities to connect romantically with people, to pursue their deepest dreams
projects,
and everything.
Yeah.
Projects. And it's like, yeah, people may laugh, people may disapprove, but they may also praise you. They may also understand. Most of the people who make a lot of noise in the world, celebrities, singers, whatever,
right,
they're not loved 100%.
Yeah.
They have as much criticism as they do praise a lot of the times. But that doesn't necessarily stop them from showing up. And for showing up, they continue to get recognition. They get wealth. They get opportunities. They get power. They get fame. They get so many things. So it's just like, if you're thinking about the negative things that could come with being yourself, well, that's going to come for anyone.
Right. Right. But I feel like it's a lot about unlearning and relabeling some of the things that we've been through, right? So I'm not a bad person, I just did a bad thing. Right? Because I'm a bad person, you tie that with your, like, your identity versus you did a bad thing. Right? So it's a lot about relabeling things that happen, and also forgiving yourself. Right? Forgiving yourself for, and letting go of some things, how things should have happened, right? How things could have happened versus how they actually happened.
Everyone, in my mind, is a little schizophrenic. Because we all envision sometimes things that aren't even there. And we get caught up in this fantasy world of what could be, what should be, what we should have done, what we could have done, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And it's just like, yeah, you can get caught up in that, or you could deal with what is, because it's the only thing you could control. And, you know, not to say that we don't all feel powerless to a certain effect, but y'all know some of y'all be out there knowing what your options are and purposefully keeping yourself from pursuing that because of the fears. And
but it's, for a lot of people, it's that fear of failure. They just can't live with it. Right? But sometimes it's like, how can we slowly get past that. Because it's always going to be there. It's like, always going to be there.
What I tell people is just like, a lot of these things you can't avoid feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you can't avoid feeling shameful or guilty or embarrassed right. or disappointed. But that's part of being human. We can't just be happy all the time.
Yeah, that's another thing. People thinking that, like, happiness is supposed to be, like, I'm happy all year. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way, right? It's like in and out, in and out. You don't stay in it for, like, years and years and years time. It doesn't work that way.
And I'm not a big physics person, but the concept I learned in physics was, like, entropy and enthalpy, which is basically the natural flow of time and what that means in terms of organization and disorganization. Mm. Things naturally become disorganized and then you have to reorganize them. And it's the same thing with our emotions. Our emotions will go one way and then we bring ourselves back to equilibrium and then it goes back and then we come back. But we never remain stagnant. Right. To remain stagnant, you might as well be in a goddamn coma because that means you're not living. You're going to feel things every single day. And it's just like oftentimes you need to take that chance because what I've learned through my experience is first, a lot of times it's never as scary as you think.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you make a decision that's good for you and beneficial for your own well-being and seeing it play out in a way that benefits you in your relationships for yourself, if somebody else disagrees with you, then fuck them. You can't really do anything about that. Like,
people pleasing.
You're going to have to do things that disappoint other people just because it is good for you. And unless you're harming the other person, they have no right to guilt you. They will try to guilt you, but they don't have the right to.
Right. But then here comes dealing with conflict, right? And sometimes it's much more about, well, what will people think if I pursue that project? What if it doesn't work out? But it's like, you haven't even tried and we're already talking about it not working out.
And my thing is that I tell people this all the time where it's like, you are the one who lies your head on your pillow at night knowing what decision you've made for yourself. Bro. No one's out there sitting thinking like, I wonder if they took that job opportunity or if they took that race.
I wonder what happened after that. Like, no one is sitting there thinking about that.
Everyone's worried about themselves.
Their own lives.
Yeah.
Right? So why make your life about other people? You're the main character.
And a lot of people take, it's almost like they're in the background of their own lives.
Yeah.
It becomes so much about other people and how to tend to other people, how to meet the needs of other people, that they forget that they have their own feelings and needs. And I think that is something that takes confidence away too, is when you don't nurture yourself, you don't challenge yourself, you don't take care of yourself, you don't consider yourself, and you just let yourself die out into the background like you're some fucking wallflower or something like that. And it's so unfortunate to have seen so many people in that place. We see it all the time in like burnout or people who become resentful that they're always putting other people first and stuff. So please consider yourself. Self-sacrificing. And again, I'm not saying in a way that's like it's a easy journey. It's a long journey. And just know that you're going to have to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to be okay with taking risks. You're going to have to be okay with stepping outside your comfort zone if you want to grow, if you want to develop.
Right. Like, it takes change. And you have to be comfortable sometimes with being uncomfortable because it means that something is moving, right?
Take a chance, and break away. The
singer.
I don't even remember the words to that song, but basically break away like Kelly did. I'm kidding. But if you need further assistance with your mental health, go see someone. Go talk to them about your life. Go
budget for it.
budget for it. Have a place where it can be about you and you can work things out and you can
process
your past, yeah. Identify what you need and identify what you need to do to get those needs
your
met.
Your goals, your desires. Like,
and that way, confidence will be a byproduct of putting the work into your own self.
Yeah.
And that's challenging your own self.
That's the thing.
Yeah, so I think that's what we have to say about confidence. So
wrap about that.
Yeah, so what's the reflection question of the day?
I wrote, what thoughts or ideas that you have about yourself keeping you from being where you want to be?
Hmm. Ooh, that's a deep one.